are now joined by Ross Chastain. If you have a question for Ross, please raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. We'll start with Zach.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Ross, I was wondering if first you could describe what happened there with the 9 car on that one restart, but also just the emotions of going through this championship race and coming so close.
Yeah, the emotions are surprisingly good. Like, I'm not sad. I'm not upset. I honestly thought when we started the playoffs that if we made it, you know, as I go through different scenarios, and I do think about what I'm going to think about ahead of time and think about what my thoughts are going to be and what I want them to be, and then I try to evaluate as I go. And I thought if I, like this scenario, if I lost by a little bit, that I would be really upset, and I'm not. Like, I'm so proud and so happy to give our first shot at these playoffs and this at racing in the Cup Series with Trackhouse, and we just ran second. And the, you know, Mr. Penske's group had us covered all day, and Joey was the best car until the final run, and we had a real shot to race with him. But we didn't have the balance in our car and the grip in our car all day to be that way. So I'm proud of the effort we kept. Nobody got upset. Nobody got flustered. We just kept working on our car all day. And with the 9, I feel like I got position on him to the left side in the dog leg, and he turned left.
Go to Holly.
Hi, Russ. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Could you, you say that you're not necessarily super disappointed because you take a lot of positive out of this, but how close did you feel that you were going to be? Did you know at some point this just isn't in the cards for us today, or were you feeling like, you know, even towards the very end of the race that you were going to have something for them?
I never believed that we were out of it. We started 25th and drove to top 10 quickly, top 15 quickly, and then top 10, and kind of raced around there, fought the balance of our car, and knew that if we got it right, we were going to have a shot. And on the final pit stop, we got it right. It fired off the best, together with a good pit stop, like together with a good restart, with a good whatever, however many laps we made to the end there, and that was the best we were. And that's what makes me so happy, is that like we can just keep fighting, and no one's ever upset. Like, we keep our world small, we all do our jobs, and everybody at Trackhouse just put forth their best effort throughout the season, and we ended as strong as I've ever seen us. And everybody stepped it up in the sport, in the playoffs, here at the end, and we did the same thing. And I'm proud of that.
Go to Matt and Jerry and Lee.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. Man, you've been on a journey this year, right? Like the highs and lows, and there's been moments where people have been critical, said you shouldn't do this, you're great for doing this. Then you have what happens at Martinsville, you come here and race for a championship. Looking back on the entire season, is there anything that you wish you could have done differently?
Oh, we're going to be here a while, Matt. My gosh. Yeah, just learning to race with these guys, okay? Our cars were so fast this year. They were faster than I've ever had in the Cup Series by far. And I wanted to take every opportunity, every half of a car width, and take it and take the air. And then when I wasn't quite as good this year, I'd block them and just keep my position waiting on the next pit stop. And there's a lot in this Cup Series that I've ran for Premium and then for Spire and for CGR and now Trackhouse. And as I've progressed through those teams and gotten closer to the front, it's different way, even though I was on track, of the way the guys operate, and learning to coexist with them is something that I would wished I would have had a better understanding of or been more open-minded. I knew it. I people had told me, and drivers had came to me in the past and tried to tell me, but I was just like, when I have an opportunity, I'm going to take it always. And not that I'm going to back down, but there's just it makes it a whole lot easier whenever these guys were coexisting with each other. And I wish I would have opened my mind to that a little earlier instead of waiting so long.
And then yesterday you mentioned kind of embracing the fear of, can you be a Cup Series driver, and the timing of that. Were you ever afraid that maybe you couldn't cut it as a top tier Cup Series guy? And now that you've gotten to this point, has this been kind of a validation that, you know, yes, I can be?
Well, I'm confident in my ability, and I'm confident in my team. But I don't believe that if I just stop now and show back up to the Clash and just all that in the middle is nothing productive, that I will be good enough to race at the top level of this sport. And I need to continue to evolve and be a better race car driver and study these guys and study myself, see what they're doing, understand these cars better, and understand the craft that it takes to drive at this level and to extrapolate the most out of these cars. So I feel like I'm on a never-ending hamster wheel to be the best version of myself, and that's not going to stop. And I hope that I never lose that drive, because I wake up and I think about, how can I drive a race car fast? That is my main priority every day of my life now, and it has been for the past probably 7 or 8 years. It wasn't at the beginning of my career. Before that, it was, how can I raise the funds to race? And before that, it was, what do we need to do at the farm to grow a crop? So you look at the progression of my mindset that comes natural when I wake up, and I feel like that I'm on a never-ending evolution to be better, and I can't wait to get to work this off-season, even though I have learned to marry that together with maybe some time away, some time not focused on this, so that I am charged and ready. This is a long season, but I feel like we hit our stride early, obviously, with the speed, but it just didn't falter. We did not, you know, most of the missteps were on my part, not our team, and I want to clean that up.
We'll go to Jerry Lee, then Nate.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Ross, we've talked through the years about this is the dream, and this season, this was a dream, and you had a dream that started here one time, and then it got yanked away. But, you know, now this year's dream has kind of come to a close. Does it end now for this season, or do you bask in this second place run for, you know, the foreseeable future in the off season? Do you immediately start focusing on next year? And how do you explain or how do you look forward to the continued growth that Trackhouse can provide?
You know, for a lot of that, Jerry, I'm going to rely on my group, both Trackhouse and the business side and GM and the Chevy performance side too. With our coaches, I want them to guide me, and it's their jobs to mold me into the best race car driver I can be. I'm telling you guys, there's so many things that I can do better, and there's so many things that I can clean up that would make lap time, first of all. They would clean up running position throughout the race and ultimately finishing position week in and week out. So I'll really rely on them, Josh and Scott and Dan, to guide me, make me the best version of myself that they can make me. And I want to be coachable. I want to be the best, and I believe that the path there isn't always what I want. I'm not always going to like what they want me to do. I'm not always going to enjoy the moments, but it's going to be for the better, and I believe I have the best group to do that. I'm full of gratitude and like, just, I can't believe how good I feel. I finished second in Truck Series points in 2019 and was crying, pulling in the pits off the track, and just got it together kind of, and then just lost my mind that night, but then had Xfinity and Cup, and that kind of took my mind off of it. And right now, like, I am proud of what we've done, and I feel so good. There were no, you know, pulling in. There was just taking like an audit on myself. There was no tears. There was no like moment where I had to like compose myself. It's just genuine, like, good feeling from inside. And I'm just happy with where I'm at. I'm happy with the group I'm with. I was excited to get out and see my family, see my mom, see my dad and brother, and see the whole group we've got. And like, this is just the beginning, and if it all ends today, it's fine. Like, really, if I can never race a car again, it's okay. Like, it was all worth it, and I'm genuinely happy. And believe me when I say it, it's true, because there's other times where it eats you up as a competitor. But for some reason, it's not that I'm complacent in second, but I feel good.
Lee.
Zane Smith said on Media Day that if he had had everything handed to him, he didn't think he would work as hard as he did to get where he is. And I think of your progression, I think of Bell's progression, and does that, when you're a blue-collar kid, does that just instill a hunger in you that, you know, just forces you to want to work harder?
It's tough to say, because I can't speak for anybody else, but I can say that Zane, I walked out and just watched some of his championship celebration, took some pictures, just standing out there by myself just to be happy for him and just watch it and soak it in myself, to watch him soak it all in. And we were texting this morning, and just love that guy, and so proud of what he's been able to do. But you know, for me, look, I don't feel like that I would be here if I didn't have a lot of people do a lot of things for me. I didn't just win races in a local short track and make a name, like get here on my own. I had so many people put funds towards me, put rides, put their name out there to get me a ride, like go to a team owner and vouch for me. And I feel as privileged coming up as any other kid or guy or girl that has a direct family tie to a team. I think it could have went wrong for them just as much as it could have went wrong for me. So, yeah, we didn't own a team. We didn't bring all of our own sponsorship, but we did. We spent a lot of our own money to get here, and it's not talked about enough in this sport, because it's kind of the ugly truth that, like, you have to sacrifice a lot. And point blank, I'm still paying my dad back, and I will probably for the foreseeable future. He sacrificed so much to put me in race cars coming up through the ranks, and then went out to his people that he knew and that our family knew, and we leveraged a lot of relationships. So it's not like it's just because I was a good race car driver that I got here. I had a lot of people, mainly in the agriculture industry early, support me because they knew me and they knew my family. And so I'm forever grateful for that. And that's why y'all will always hear about watermelons. You will always hear about agriculture, because without that and without our family farming for ever, but watermelons, the last 8 generations, I'm not able to put funds towards racing early in my career up at these top 3 levels to get in cars. And there was always somebody with more money. And I think we did a really good job navigating that market and that that climb.
And Phil Surgeon was, I mean, you would have thought he won the race. I mean, maybe not the championship, but you might have thought he won the race because he was so excited about being able to go to 2023 and hit the ground running, not being a one-car team, you know, not knowing who was going to be on the, you know, just having all the pieces in place now that you can take that platform and grow with it. Do you share his enthusiasm?
I do. I look at, we pulled on the back stretch 20th in points last year with the 42, had a cooler full of beverages, and, you know, walked away not knowing what the future was. We knew that tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we were walking in with new ownership and Chip and Doug Ducard and so many people that we had bet on being there for a long time in that 42 car. It was their time to step away, and there was a lot of unknowns. And you know, to look back and think we ran 13th in this race, I believe, and 20th in driver points, to come back and run third today and second in the spring and fight for a championship, it's we're only going to get better. I think that's what makes our group so good, is that with this new car, we thought there's so many ways we could be better with this car, and the buy-in from everybody through our 150 people is the key to that.
Okay, we have time for one more, and we'll take it from Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. So, Ross, after a week of speculation and conjecture about anybody would try to replicate your Martinsville move over these 3 races, nobody did it, including you. Your teammate told us yesterday that he tried it in a simulator and said it wouldn't work. Did you give any thought to maybe trying it, being, what, 2 spots back and 1.2 seconds behind?
I did not. With 5 to go, I looked over at it going in turn 3, and yeah, I knew Daniel had tried it and other guys, and I just didn't think that it worked. I thought that the Martinsville scenario was the perfect scenario for it, and my gut told me to do it Martinsville, and my gut told me not to do it here. So ultimately, that's all I can do. And, I don't think it's – I mean, everybody thought everybody would be doing it here, and they think that they're going to do it there. Look, it's scary as heck to commit to that and to put your car and your body through that. It was the longest wreck of my life. Like, it was a successful wreck for a long time through the corner. So I'm glad that NASCAR, you know, dug their heels in a bit this weekend and said, look, we're not going to overreact to this. We're going to just let it play out. And we'll continue to talk about in the off season, even though there was a lot of push for a rule today. And I'm super proud of the group at NASCAR and everybody in charge for taking charge and making their own decision and not letting the pressure of the driver group, steer them too far. They took a big leap of faith with this car, the France family of NASCAR did. Obviously, I'm really thankful for that because it put Trackhouse into existence and it gave us kind of the reason that we've been able to be successful. And I think that, you know, as we keep going and the sport evolves, it's important for them to, you know, they run the show, and sometimes they need to, you know, I'm like, you tell us what to do, you tell us what the rule book is, and then let us go race. And that's what makes NASCAR so great, I think.
Well, thank you, Ross. Appreciate the time post-race here, and congrats on a great season.
Thank y'all.